You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back here in good old Studio One with another episode of the...
You can do it.
Why don't you tell them what the show's called?
Go ahead. It's the M Squared TechCast.
Okay, thank you. We decided we'd do that together, together now.
The curse of Monday has struck again. Indeed. In the TV studio. We won't go into the details, but...
We do have video here. It's just slightly more primitive.
Right.
So.
But
the content of the show certainly will not be.
No, absolutely not.
All right, so we're starting things off with our attorney, our friend from Traverse City, Enrico Schaefer. And, you've started out, you know, talking about a bunch of different things over the years on this show, but today you want to talk about social media and influencers.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, how does one get to be an influencer? Why don't we start with that?
Well, you have to be popular. So that's number one.
Let's me out.
You're going to need a social media account, number two.
Okay.
And you're going to need a lot of followers, number three. And if you get those things, you put them together, now you can influence people online through your account. What you endorse, what you say, what you push, in which restaurants you love and which brands you love.
This is sort of a new kind of marketing that's entirely a creature of social media, right?
Entirely a creature of social media. And it's a new kind of marketing. It's been happening for a few years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, like 5 years ago, I think I had a client that had a facial mask for young women between like 15 and 19. They would pay $5,000 for an endorsement from an influencer online, and they do $80,000 worth of business in the next hour.
Wow.
So it's really great marketing when you can put the pieces together.
Mm. Wow, amazing, huh? Describe some of the Detroit influencers that you think do this particularly well.
Sure. So in Detroit, we've got a lot of really good factors that line up for social media influencing and marketing and branding. Number one is Detroit is just hot, right? So the people in Detroit, long suffering, are now part of this rebirth. That is, everyone nationally and globally seems to understand that Detroit is a great place to be. And we didn't always have that reputation. And so it's trend. It's a hot place to be. So in Detroit, you've got, as part of that, really interesting places and people and events that are getting hashtagged.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know what the core of influencing is, it's basically a hashtag that is a shout out to something. So hashtag Detroit, hashtag cool Detroit, hashtag whatever Detroit, Motown. So these types of things are really starting to take hold. I did a little bit of research the other week that I found really fascinating. You think of some big cities like Cleveland and Austin and Denver, all high-tech cities, right? All really popular cities. Austin's growing like crazy, and they've got all these huge tech companies there. But guess who has more hashtags than Austin?
I'm thinking Detroit, right?
Detroit. Hashtag Detroit right now has, over 10,000 posts, right? So, well, that's new Detroit. Hashtag Detroit has 12,000. Austin's just got, thousand. 11 million is Austin. 12 million is Detroit. Cleveland's only 6 million, and Cleveland's up and coming and has been reborn as well. So it just shows you a very good indication of how people feel about the city.
Well, then, since you're an attorney, how do you fit into all this? How does law fit into all this?
So we represent social media influencers who are offering up their endorsements to products and services, events, these types of things. And then we represent brands such as companies that want to hire influencers. And then we represent the agencies or the platforms in between those two contracting partners. And so, as you know, we do a lot of intellectual property law. and a lot of copyright law. And an influencer is essentially licensing their copyrighted photograph, typically, and verbiage and hashtag to a brand to do that endorsement. So you've got copyright. And then, of course, if it shows their face, then you've got name and likeness that is also being contracted to the brand. So there's a lot of the intellectual property issues that go back and forth between influencers and brands. And that's how we got involved, and that's how we ended up in this space.
Sounds like a new variety of trademark law, really.
Yeah, so trademark is, it's interesting because we're always telling social media influencers that they need to get their handle trademarked, right? Mm. So if you're a social media influencer, chances are it's not your exact name.
Yeah.
And you're operating under this brand that is the at whatever your name is. It's a trademark. And the photos are copyrighted. So it's copyright licensing.
Hmm. Interesting. excuse me. How does one convert all this influence? And you talk about, let's go into that more on that you pay somebody $5,000 kind of thing. What's that all about?
Yeah. So basically what will happen is we've seen it much more at a national level, right? So we know that Kim Kardashian or her little sister, whatever her name is, makes insane billions of dollars from social media influencing, right? But it's global. It's big brands, big names, big products. The trend in influencing marketing is going, like everything else, going local, right? So local businesses in Detroit, local restaurants in Detroit, local events in Detroit that are now connecting with influencers to help promote those events. And then, of course, everyone in Detroit promoting Detroit by hashtagging Detroit or some other variation, which shows a great photograph or a great depiction of something that's really cool and happening in Detroit.
Hmm.
So we've got some really amazing influencers in the Detroit area, and I'll give a few shout outs if you want to have some recommendations.
I'd like to know more about these folks.
Yeah, so there's one called at after5detroit.com, and this is a person who does like the social scene in Detroit, and it's eat, drink, play, 11,000 followers.
Wow.
And if you look at their page, a really impressive photography all about Detroit. So really love that page. In another different niche, you've got Metro Detroit Mom. At Metro Detroit Mom, and she's a Metro Detroit mommy, Instagram person. And she's got all kinds of great photos that are family friendly about things happening in Detroit. So you can start to see how that would translate into real good things for Detroit. And then you've got J Adore Detroit. That's J-A-D-O-R-E Detroit.
Means I love in French.
Yeah. And so entertainment, food and drink and wellness. And this is a plus size model who does a lot of modeling, but picks all these amazing Detroit backdrops to do to the photography. So, there's really amazing stuff there. And then if you've got, certainly the city, Detroit's got its own social media department. The Detroit Visitor Bureau has 56,000 followers at Visit Detroit and really amazing photography there. So we're going to start to see a connecting of these influencers with more of the local businesses as they're promoting each other, essentially.
So should we take our M squared Detroit in there somewhere? Would that improve it?
I was going to mention this, but you two are influencers.
Really?
Yeah. And are you guys getting paid for that yet? You need an agent?
Money's a fine thing. I always like
Represent you guys.
Yeah, I like to get money.
Yeah, sure. You're promoting things, and you have an audience, and therefore you have the ability to influence. And so it doesn't have to be an Instagram account. It can be a podcast. It can be a Twitter page. Yep. It could be lots of different things that you can go ahead and influence on. And really, the reason I'm here today is just to talk a little bit about how the trend is putting the people, the communities, and the communities within the communities of Detroit and other cities together and creating some cohesion in order to create those synergies between players, between the influencers, between the brands, between what you guys are doing and brands, across the board. And this is a trend that is really just in its infancy, but it's not going away, and it's only going to pick up speed because influence marketing is really the future.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into Instagram, but I have been on Twitter pretty much since it was established. And so I am actually Matt Rausch on Twitter. And there's a couple of other Matt Rausches that would like it. There's a guy who's a folk singer in Indianapolis, and then there's a guy who's the TV reviewer at TVGuide.com.
But so, too bad our Matt has
it. Yeah, so. I got it first. Although I did let MattRausch.com get away, though, the website. But
yeah, it's tough. But yeah, there's a lot of collision of words and names out there, and there's not a lot of bandwidth left there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Twitter is sort of this weird amalgamation of, you know, political chatter and advertising and marketing and influence. And I mean, it's to me, that's the most interesting one.
It is because it's got the most non-photographic content.
Right. Yeah. Instagram's all pictures. Right. Yeah.
And they keep you at least in line so you can't talk forever. So that's good too. So, but Instagram is just photos, right? So it's more than just photos. It's hashtags and photos and a little bit of text, but a picture speaks a thousand words.
Right.
And in Detroit, you know, there's so many amazing different things that are happening artistically and architecturally, and all of it's being captured online and is being fed into one of these hashtags. Mm-hmm. And so I have no doubt that that's helping with the rebirth of Detroit.
Oh, yeah. And I see it most among young people, too, because I've got a niece and nephew who are 21 and 23. And they live over on the west side of the state in the Muskegon area, and they can't come over here often enough.
Yeah.
You know, and my kids are 27 and 29, and, you know, one lives in Ipsy and one lives in Westland. And they're coming over here all the time because they think Detroit is the coolest thing there is. And they're actually closer to Chicago, really, than they are to Detroit.
Yeah.
So, and West Michigan's always identified more with Chicago than with Detroit.
Yeah, for now, and maybe that's, you know, that is changing. And these kids, these younger generation, they're learning about this stuff on social media, and the trends that are happening on social media are actually happening on the street as well. And that's great news for Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if one, let's bore into this a bit. Let's say one thinks, take our case, for instance, how would we then monetize what we're doing better?
So essentially, you guys have, you know, sponsorships, and you have advertisements that you have as part of the web-based broadcast that you've got going on. So in a way, that's a form of advertisement. Everyone recognizes it as advertisement. Influencing is endorsement, mm-hmm. right? It's me stepping up and saying, I endorse you, mm-hmm. and having a following that is going to respond to that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a step beyond, several steps beyond a banner ad, right? Mm-hmm. And so because you guys know tech and because you guys know what's happening in Detroit, mm-hmm. your ability to step in, and you've heard on radio broadcasts where all of a sudden the broadcaster says, you know, and now I'm going to tell you about my pillow or whatever it happens to be, right? So that would be a form of influencing that would be outside social media, but mm-hmm. it's the exact same concept. What you guys would probably want to do is to really start to build your following more on, pick a social media platform, maybe it's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then as that following builds, you can pick the brands that you love, the companies that you love within your field of expertise, and then you could get paid money to do a review of them, mm-hmm. or to promote them or endorse them online by saying, here is a company that I really love and I own these products and mm-hmm. I stand behind them as well. And they usually pay you for anywhere between 1 and 3 different posts. And it could be anything from a couple $100 to some of these folks are making 6 figures a post.
Wow.
For a single post.
Kind of like IT and the D. I mean, when they endorse something, it's like Dave drives a Jaguar, don't you, Dave?
Right.
Yeah. See, Dave's been holding out on you. You just don't know about his influencing income.
That's it. He drives that Jeep because he doesn't want people to know, but, you know, he really lives in one of the Grosse Pointe
It's that Midwestern work ethic modesty at work.
Yeah, we're not there yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah, but then you get into the dangerous fire festival territory when it comes to influencers at that range.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that was a great example of the, you guys remember the fire festival, they put this big event on that was a non-event, and some very wealthy people paid insane amounts of money because it was a trend. It was hot. It was a social media you know, thing that just occurred online and exploded, and everyone wants in. And that's a great example of what social media influencing is.
And then they wind up on Gilligan's Island, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Essentially marooned, right?
And now all those social media influencers are in the middle of lawsuits because the trustee for the festival is trying to get money back because chaos. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when you stand behind a product, you better stand behind the product, because if you told people to go and they purchase because you told them to go,
knowing full well and good you were not going.
Right. Or you didn't know enough about it to endorse it. I mean, you're standing behind the product, and that's where some of the liability comes in. We try and protect both sides and come to a fair accommodation of risk, but you better know who it is that you're getting into bed with if you're going to get in the endorsement game.
We're going to have to cut it off at that.
Quickly tell us, if people want more information on these topics from you, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. Go to Enrico Schaefer at traverselegal.com, and you'll find me online, and we'll be happy to answer any of your questions if you're a brand or if you're an influencer.
All right. That's Enrico Schaefer from traverselegal.com. We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
And we have calling in from Ann Arbor. We have Kevin Hayes, who's the Chief Information Security Officer for Merit. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing great this afternoon.
We have a picture of you up on the stream. I'm sorry, our TV studio was having problems today, as it seems to.
So we're back in the radio studio.
Yes, we're back in the radio studio, but they are seeing a picture of what you look like. So the reason we have Kevin on the show today is the big, what's the proper title for? It's the International Cybersecurity. I know there's more to the name than that. At the end of the month, the big show, what is it called again?
North American International Cyber Summit.
Thank you. Right. I just put it, it reminded me of the auto show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
nope.
And so Merit is involved in that. And one of the things they're particularly involved in is the High School Michigan Cyber Range Challenge, Cyber Warrior Challenge. And so you guys have gone through the first round now, and I probably messed that name up too. It probably called something else. But essentially, you've gone through the first round, and you've narrowed it down to the 10-second round finalists who will actually be competing on, what's the date on that, October, is it 27th?
October 28th, Monday, 28th. October 28th. 28th. We have the 10 teams that won our round one challenge, and they're all going to come down, meet together right down there at TCF Center. And we've been running this for several years, and we're going to have a real fun time.
Yeah, I know. The governor, the previous governor, Snyder, started this 8 years ago, and there's been something like, I think this is the seventh one, because 1 year they skipped or something in that neighborhood. But I know I've attended most of them, and I know this is a big highlight, particularly for the high school kids, is to get up there and have this sort of a capture the flag kind of event, isn't it? Red team, blue team?
Yep, it absolutely is a capture the flag kind of event. What's really nice is this, in many cases, the first time that a lot of these high school students are really seeing, really a hacking environment quite like this, in which, you know, they're actually permitted to go and, you know, hack computers and try and find secrets on our network systems and really get them a real good window into, you know, what potential some of the opportunities could be when it comes to cybersecurity jobs, especially as we're looking to, you know, fill so many cybersecurity positions both here in Michigan and across the nation in the next several years.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the problem. I know the The stuff you gave us to prepare with mentioned the shortage of cybersecurity workers. So that's part of the reason you're doing this. Tell us a little bit about the scope of the problem.
Yeah, the scope of the problem is that, especially when we're looking at a lot of our connected technology, I mean, we have all of our, you know, Alexas and, you know, our mobile devices, and especially as we're looking at all of our connected automobiles as well. Like, everything kind of talks to each other, you know, in some way, whether it's on the internet or whether it's just between each other. And with all these ways in which things can, talk and communicate, you know, come exponentially, a number of, you know, vulnerabilities or ways in which, like, you can get all of our connected things to do things they're really not supposed to. And unfortunately, as a result of that, you know, we have this, giant need. It's actually over 3 million unfilled cybersecurity jobs just with here within the United States. And whether that's, you know, cybersecurity when it comes to, like, defending our companies and our organizations, or, you know, integrating in cybersecurity when we actually, like, build and develop things, we have a huge deficit there. And, you know, part of what we want to do with the Michigan Governor's High School Cyber Challenge is get more visibility into this and really start to drive more students towards the cybersecurity job market, which, you know, no surprise here, it's not going away. It's only going to keep getting bigger, and, you know, is very, very, like, knowledge intensive, and in many ways, I mean, it's the wave of the future.
What kind of stood out for me is there were 660 students that participated in round one. How does that compare to years past?
That is actually a record compared to years past. I think in prior years, we've had maybe just like a little over 600 students. But every single year, we grow more and more. This is a free program that we advertise out to high schools all across the state. And all it requires is that you have basically a coach, a teacher, a mentor that can sign up to 3 students on a team, and you can have multiple teams per school if you have, you know, a lot of students, any one particular school that are really interested in cybersecurity. And this, for the most part, has grown a lot just word by mouth. And we have teams that participate all across the state, all from, you know, the Metro Detroit area, going all the way up, all throughout the Upper Peninsula, Northern Michigan, western side of the state, Grand Rapids. We really have a very good representation throughout the entire state. And we love the fact that over 4 days of coming up with scenarios and challenges and quizzes, we really test the kids. And at the end of all of that, we have final scores and times, and, you know, we're so happy to be able to invite 10 of them all the way down to TCF Center in Detroit. And then then the fun really begins, and they're not just simply, answering, I'll say, theoretical questions or knowing what cybersecurity tools work in particular instances or not, but actually sitting in front of a keyboard and being placed in front of an entire virtual city, and trying to hack that entire virtual city basically for points and try and outscore all of the other teams that are around you.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed about the 10 finalists is that they really are a cross-section of the state. You've got sort of affluent suburban areas, you've got urban areas, you've got rural areas. There's people there from the UP and Newaygo County on the west side of the state. It's a very diverse group.
I know, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about getting this this group of students together. And it really showcases that it doesn't matter where you are throughout the state. To your point, if you're urban, if you're suburban, if you're rural, it doesn't matter. As long as you have internet connectivity and you really have that desire to want to both learn and really fix these cybersecurity problems out there, like, you are in the mix when it comes to, you know, participating in these kinds of challenges and really learning and building yourself up to be hopefully an eventual cybersecurity leader.
So these kids now coming out of the sausage machine on the other side, how many of these high school kids then go on to go get some degrees in college and then go into the workforce? Have you been able to track that at all?
We're still in the process of tracking that. One of the things that we do as part of all of this is we do provide cybersecurity certifications for the winners as part of all of this. The idea being that you want to keep going forward. Like, we'll be more than happy to to showcase and get you like a Security Plus certification, get you hopefully on your way towards your CISSP, really getting you bootstrapped so that, okay, you know, you enter college, you know, you can potentially use the experience that you get with this and any training that you end up getting. Hey, that could end up landing you like a really great internship, because you already have literally at that point several years worth of experience just as you're entering college. And as we're looking to, as I keep on saying, continue to grow the cybersecurity workforce, like, we need to keep focusing, you know, earlier and earlier on, you know, with our student populations, just so that we can, you know, hopefully kind of close this gap a little bit. I know that several of our, you know, automotive suppliers, they have been posting previously like crazy when it comes to like cybersecurity for like automotive. So knowing that, you know, all the systems, both with, you know, within automobiles, all the individual systems, like, you know, usually you have like 10, 15 different computers within a car that can all be talking to each other, cars talking to each other, you know, making sure that all those communications are secured and can't be, you know, altered or read by anyone else. That's a gigantic deal. So especially with our heavy focus in the automotive world, making sure that our Michigan students are able to get these skills and then stay here within Michigan and, you know, provide their expertise to other Michigan companies really ends up being a big focus behind everything that we're doing right now.
So let's talk a little bit about the North American International Cyber Summit. Did I get it right this time?
You got it right.
All right. So it's, again, coming up on October 28th at the old Cobo Center. I think about 1,000 people attended last year, or really close to 1,000, wasn't it?
It was a really good turnout, and I've been there every year since it started, and I couldn't be happier. It's a great initiative that, you know, our former administration put together. Our current administration sees the value in that and keeps on going, and it really helps cement, you know, Michigan's really, really substantial efforts when it comes into cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think the baton has been passed to Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, who we all know is a strong technology guy. In fact, he does a column for us and gets on our show every quarter as well. So give him a chance to talk to our audience. I imagine you encourage everybody to attend. Anybody that's interested at all in cybersecurity, this is an event that you really want to be at, right?
It really is. It has a really great cross-section of speakers between state, local, federal, industry, and I have always found incredible value in both the presentations as well as the networking opportunities that happen just at this conference. I mean, to your point, I want to say it was maybe around 1,000 or so individuals last year. You know, it's in a, you know, gorgeous brand new banquet facility, you know, right there at TCF Center that overlooks the Detroit River, and with all the breakout rooms and all the presentations, you will absolutely come out with something awesome. I know that last year, one of my most favorite presentations, Michigan State Police, I believe, was out there with a electronics sniffing dog. And it was absolutely amazing just to see the work that, you know, our state is putting into making sure that our law enforcement has updated tools, techniques, technologies, and, you know, four-legged hardware when it comes to helping out in our new connected millennium.
All right, we've got just a couple of minutes left, a little over a minute actually. Tell us a little bit about Merit and the Michigan Cyber Range, if you could.
Yep, absolutely. Merit is a nonprofit organization. We're actually owned and governed by 12 of the public universities in the state of Michigan, and we provide network security and community solutions to all of our membership, which is primarily nonprofit. And as part of all of this, the Michigan Cyber Range is one of our significant security offerings here. It is the state's, and depending on who you ask, some people even say the country's largest unclassified cyber range, in which you can have people go in, you can do all of your own fun hacking on virtual cities, environments, your own infrastructure, your own things that you want to bring in, all without worrying about, you know, doing bad things to your own, you know, company or anything like that. And we provide classes, we provide, you know, certifications that are industry standard, and, you know, the whole goal with the cyber range is so that, you know, if you want to become a cybersecurity master and expert, we're definitely here for you.
All right.
All right, so if people want more information about the Cyber Summit and Merit, where should they go online?
Yep. For any information with regards to Merit, how to become a member, how to utilize our cyber range, our address is very easy. It's Merit, MERIT.edu. And there again, I believe, should be links that talk about our initiatives as well as the High School Cyber Challenge and the North American International Cyber Summit.
All right. Thanks very much, Kevin Hayes, Chief Information Security Officer at Merit Network. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening at PodcastDetroit.com.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
And we have sitting in the hot seat Amanda Kugler, the manager of The Roots. Interesting name. It's actually an insurance company. Why don't you tell us the history of the name? I think I know what it is, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, perfect. So I started an insurance agency about 10 years ago. I went independent about 4 years ago, and I got approached to write a dispensary almost 3 years ago now. And when that happened, things just started to snowball, and we just started writing more and more cannabis risks across the country. And when that happened, I saw that there was a need for us to really brand ourselves to not only represent our cannabis clients, but also maybe have a spin that we could also portray to our non-cannabis risks. So we came up with The Roots to really target that cannabis demographic, but then also to show that there's a foundation when building your insurance portfolio.
Okay.
So how much of your portfolio is cannabis related?
We're probably getting close to 70-75%.
Wow.
Yeah, the book of business is really growing on the cannabis side.
Okay.
And were you one of the first insurance agencies to insure cannabis businesses?
I would say here in Michigan, definitely. In Colorado, there were some agencies that had been established.
Oregon, California, yeah.
But definitely here in Michigan, we were one of the founding agencies, I think, to really jump in and get our feet wet in the cannabis space.
So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you happen to wind up in insurance? And you know,
well, like most insurance people, I didn't want to go into insurance.
And did your family run away from you? When you
basically,
come
towards them? Yeah. they might still be running.
That's only life insurance.
That's true. My husband and I tried to move back to Detroit in 2009 when Detroit was, you know, not thriving.
Yeah.
And I had a family friend that was in insurance, and I approached him and I just said, "Hey, we're looking to move back to family, and we want to move back to the Detroit area. Got anything for him?" And he's like, "You should start an agency." And I was like, "I don't know what that means, but I'm willing to try."
Sure.
And one thing led to another, and here we are. It's a great fit for me. I love talking to people and I love helping people, and I don't think an insurance agency, you know, could be a better fit.
But one of the things you mentioned before we got started, because I was asking you about your title, is you recently sold your agency and now you're the manager.
Yeah.
But somebody else has to do all the management.
Right. So, we are now working with a wholesaler, that, acquired the agency. Nothing has really changed. I'm still the point of contact in terms of, going out and talking to clients and, doing all of that. And then I've got David in my office, who is the account manager. He handles a lot of the, behind the scenes and office, stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, things are moving smoothly as they were before.
So what are the insurance requirements for Michigan operators? I mean, in the medical market that's established, yep. And then the recreational market that's coming soon.
Yeah. So in the medical market, it's pretty much the same medical and recreational. Mm-hmm. So what's required of the licensees is general liability coverage and product liability coverage. Mm-hmm. Every licensed facility here in Michigan has to have those two items. And you have to prove to the state during your second phase of licensing that you have those. The transporters are also required to carry commercial auto insurance, mm-hmm. and we have to generate a form given to the state police to prove that they have their commercial auto insurance in place. Additionally, like every other business here in Michigan that has employees, they are required to purchase workers' compensation coverage. So those would be the four insurance requirements that every licensee here in the state is required. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, as you guys are aware, municipalities opt in. So once a municipality opts in, they draft their ordinance. And once that happens, then they put out their specific insurance requirements. And usually they're in line with what the state requires, but sometimes they're a little bit different. So you have to be both cognizant of what the state requires and what the municipality requires.
So for the product liability part of it, how does the underwriting take place for that? I mean, do you go to a testing lab? Is that how it works?
No. Okay. Don't get to underwrite in that way. Yeah. Basically, they look at the products that are manufactured, distributed or sold, and the revenue. And that's what's going to be the driving force in getting that product liability coverage. So, that's pretty much the underwriting that takes place.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, certainly the opt-in, opt-out is one obstacle. But what are some of the other obstacles that one faces when you want to obtain business insurance for a cannabis business?
So I would say one of the biggest obstacles that we see, and we're able to help our clients through this, but the lack of carriers is a big obstacle for our clients. Mm. It's not like you can just go to a standard insurance company and say, hey, I'm opening up a provisioning center. Can you insure me? They can't. They have provisions inside their insurance policies, either from an underwriting standpoint where the underwriters just don't want to insure it, or from a legal standpoint in their contracts, it says that they can't insure federally illegal activities. Mm-hmm. So that eliminates a ton of markets that normal mainstream businesses have access to. So we really run into that lack of carriers. And that's one of the biggest things I would say. Our clients just don't have a ton of options.
I was going to say, who are the carriers that are selling this stuff?
So we've got Safe Herb is one that we write through, Canopius, Admiral, Conifer is a big one here in Michigan. We probably have
five.
These
are sort of specialty companies.
Correct. They are all, all specialty companies.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're not going to get the,
State Farm or no. Allstate.
Right. Yeah. No, they are not. At this point in time,
Lloyd's
they are
London.
Not.
Yeah,
right. Well, Lloyd's is a writer in the space.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But I would say
it's
you're
legal
not going to see.
In the UK, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
You're not going to see the State Farms, the Allstates, Hartford's, Travelers. They don't want to be in the space. And I don't anticipate that changing until it becomes federally legal.
Yes.
Which was
off
my next
schedule
question.
One. Yes. Right.
My
yeah.
next question is there's a lot of noise about maybe. The presidential candidates, we know the one finalist already,
yep.
on the Republican side, but we don't know.
But
the
you're counting out the Republican challengers already.
Yeah. On the Democrat side, who knows? But the noise we're hearing is that may be a big thing they're going to offer to try to attract young people to the polls, vote for them because they're supporting the whole idea of federal legalization.
Yep.
You think that'll happen or?
I hope so.
Well, then would that then maybe bring in some of these big companies?
It would, yes. I think it would. Obviously, I can't speak on behalf of the big companies, but I would anticipate that with federal legalization, we would see more and more carriers jump into the market. And that's just going to make for a more competitive marketplace and give our clients more options, which is what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You must have a few claims already. What sort of claims are you, writing or filing for?
Yeah, I mean, outside of the normal claims that we see any business having, water damage, water leaks, pipes burst, things like that, mm-hmm. I would say on the provisioning center side, the dispensary side, it's definitely the thefts and the break-ins. Mm. In the Detroit area, we're seeing some smash and grabs where they're taking vehicles and running them into walls and grabbing as much as they can before the police get there.
Probably easier than an ATM, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes they're taking the ATM machine with them because a lot of the provisioning centers will have ATM machines. machines inside the facility.
Sure. Yep, that makes sense.
So yeah, on the provisioning center side, it's definitely the thefts and the break-ins. And then I would say on the cultivation side, we're seeing some fires. So those would be the two that we would, I would say, are the claims that we're seeing.
Intentionally set fires or just accidental fires?
Accidental. Okay, yep. Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, sometimes causing a lot of damage, and sometimes the security systems and their fire suppression systems are so well installed and maintained that they're able to stop the fire from spreading quickly.
Okay, gotcha.
Did we ask the question about what coverages are available for licensed facilities?
Yeah, you didn't ask that, but the way that we approach insuring these facilities is just like any other business. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the coverages available to them, for the most part, it's just like insuring any other business. So you've got general liability, you've got property coverage, product liability, commercial auto, workers' compensation. We can insure crop coverage. Hmm. So we can insure the growing plant.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. We can insure the finished stock, the inventory. We can provide employee dishonesty coverage, professional liability.
I would imagine that would be a big issue. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now we've got some lower limits. You know, we don't have markets that are offering really high limits in that regard, but yeah, we have access to coverage. Hmm.
There's some really big facilities in the works. You probably know Stephen Braddock and what he's doing over in Muskegon.
Yep.
3 million square feet. Oh, my God.
That's another issue that I would say some of our clients run into when they're trying to insure these facilities is the total insurance value limitations. So we don't have a ton of carriers in this space. And the carriers that we do have in this space, there's limitations of how much coverage they can actually provide. So when we're talking about facilities that are 500,000, 1 million, 3 million square feet,
that's big.
Those are hard to place coverages.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
And then even what Mike Elias says, talking about a 500,000 square foot facility, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's just mind boggling when you think about how big those really are.
I've walked a couple, and you could use a golf cart to get around. I mean, they are huge facilities.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So we got about a couple minutes left here.
Okay.
Let's just talk about one of your questions is, what are some of the recommendations for business owners looking to purchase insurance for their businesses? We can just talk more in general if you want.
Yeah. Well, addressing that conversation or that question, this is a conversation I have with licensees a lot is, you know, why would I use you versus my insurance agent that's insured my other businesses?
Right.
Because of the lack of carriers that are available to clients, it makes it hard to place this coverage. Uh-huh. And if you haven't done the research to find out what companies you can place business with, uh-huh. it's hard for an agent that has never been in this space to easily place coverage. Uh-huh. So we spent, I mean, to this day, I'm still researching markets and I'm still researching policy forms to find out if this makes the most sense. Uh-huh. I read some policy forms from carriers that say, we do insurance for cannabis facilities. And I read the policy form and I'm like, no, you don't. So just having a clear understanding of the industry and what my clients need, I think that that puts me a step ahead of agents who maybe don't have a ton of experience in this space. So when we talk about recommendations, I would say you want to work with an agent. Well, I think I'm a pretty good agent and I'm pretty cool to work with. You want to work with an agent that understands the cannabis industry, whether that's me or another insurance agency. I would highly recommend steering away from, you know, the person who does your home and auto insurance if they don't have experience in the space.
Yeah, it really is tricky. I mean, for instance, I had to get liability insurance because I'm a publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only a very few companies, and it's very expensive too.
Yeah.
get that insurance. Excuse me, but I did. So I had to search around quite a bit for that.
Yeah. And I mean, you probably were able to find an agent eventually that understood your business, understood the markets to go to. There are times where we get calls from clients who say, hey, I've reached out to my agent a month ago and I still don't have coverage. Well, that just leads me to believe that your agent doesn't have a ton of experience in the space and didn't know what markets to go to. Right.
About a minute, Dave? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is where you get through the shameless plug.
Shameless plug time.
Shameless plug time.
Okay. So how do folks reach out to Amanda Kugler? What's the best way to do that?
So my email is pretty simple. It's just my first name, Amanda@therootsins.com. Our website also has some good information on there, and that can be found at therootscannabisins.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, if anyone's curious, I just looked it up. 3 million square feet is a little over 50 football fields. So,
wow.
I would definitely request a golf cart to go around that facility.
Indeed. All right. Thanks very much, Amanda Kugler, manager of The Roots. It's an insurance agency. Where are you based out of?
We're based out of Berkeley.
Okay.
Here in Michigan.
Okay.
Long drive then.
Long drive. It took me a while.
Yeah, right
3 minutes.
Here. Okay. Thanks, Amanda. And we'll be back soon with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast here at PodcastDetroit.com.
And keeping up with our previous theme of cannabis, not that that's what Benziga does all the time, although it seems like it lately, they had a big event in Detroit in mid-August. And now they have one coming up on October 22nd and 23rd at the Palmer House.
Ooh, Swanky hoity, digs.
Hoity. Oh, you guys.
Yeah.
Amping it up a little bit.
In Chi-Town. And so we have with us Patrick Lane, and he's the guy that puts these shows out. And having produced a couple of events myself, never again. So
Mike, careful, man. We might bring you on.
Oh, yeah. God, no. That was like, we just talked about that earlier. Dave was really excited. He wants to produce an event for IT and the D, right, Dave?
No.
Okay.
No, I've learned from everyone else's lessons.
Oh, yes. So anyway, let's talk about your event. You got is it going to be pretty much the same theme as the one in Detroit, or it'll be
basically the same? So, if anybody came to our Detroit event, and I say anybody, but we had about 450 people show.
Yeah, it was right wow. First
so
one.
So for for a market that's a little less mature, it was a really really good showing.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, we expect double that amount of people, so around 1,000 people.
Well, just the Palmer House alone, right?
Well, you know, listen, come hang out at the Palmer House, enjoy yourself for a while. But it's a cool market. It's the newest state to legalize.
Yeah, January 1st, right?
That's right. January 1st, it comes online. It's the 11th state to do so. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting regulations around that too. So it's a good time for us to be there.
Where are they in their regulatory framework compared to Michigan?
So it's interesting. They've decided basically how they want to tax everything, right? Mm-hmm. So they have that structure in place. They're also rolling out things that are similar to what Michigan's rolled out in terms of the social equity program, trying to lift up those communities that have been hardest hit by drug-related arrests and crimes, right?
That would be Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole mass incarceration thing.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And it goes hand in hand with some of this legalization and rollout. You got to address some of the criminality and what is legal and what isn't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so certainly that's something they're endeavoring to do. You know, one of the things that's interesting that we find is that a lot of the bigger players in the industry have taken some really hard hits lately. You know, and we're going to see some of that unfold on stage at our event.
Uh-huh.
Some of the larger public companies have dealt with federal antitrust lawsuits, and some of our friends, for sure. We've also had a big, big turn in the markets. It's a terrible time to invest in stocks in the marijuana space right now.
Huh.
But what we'd like to tell people is, hey, it's a long game. It's not the short game, right? Come take a look at these companies. You know, this is still what they call the green rush. You know, similar to the gold rush. So for sure there's money here. It's a longer play.
Well, if it turns out like the car business, you buy when the companies are in the dumpster sales-wise and you sell when they're doing great.
Pretty much. It's an interesting game, though. I mean, especially these guys who, you know, their revenues are increasing 200% quarter over quarter. It's just a crazy, crazy growth market. Mm-hmm. But this the vaping crisis as well has really hit them hard.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up there because you had a couple of vaping folks at your event.
That's right.
Before all this came up. And now we've had our first death in Michigan related to vaping. Now, that's really the black market stuff,
though. It really is. Yeah, that's the one thing. And listen, I'm no scientist, and we don't have any scientists on our payroll at Benzinga, so we're not going to, you know, come out and say what is and isn't. But it sure seems to be that these are the illicit market. You know, these are counterfeit cartridges that are being shipped over from even China in some cases. And being peddled to people, and you don't know what's in it, you know? I think somebody likened it to a chemical burn on your lungs, you know, happening. So it's bad business.
Well, it's what they're cutting it with from what I've read. They're using some really toxic things to cut it.
Yeah, yeah. It's called vitamin E acetate. That's what everybody's worried about right now. And it's an oil that tends to...
Good to take in a pill, not so good to nebulize and inhale.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Not a good idea, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
So who's going to come to this conference? Who? What kind of crowd do you expect?
So generally what we do, our main goal is connecting the right investors with really, really well-vetted companies, right? So for our money, we've got a lot of the larger hedge funds, some big family offices, and high net worth investors on one side of the aisle. And on the other, we have some really, really well-vetted public companies and some private companies that maybe people don't quite know about yet. And that's really our goal, is to find those opportunities and bring them to the fray, right? So, you know, company names like you guys know, Aurora Cannabis, one of the largest LPs, probably one of the most popular companies in the world in that space. Mm-hmm. And then Trulieve, Cresco Labs, Harvest Health and Rec, Grassroots, some of the ones you'll definitely know.
And Chicago, do they have any particular claim to fame yet? I know they haven't even really officially started. Now, for instance, Michigan is number two in medical marijuana. Where does Illinois stand in all this? Do you know?
You know, it's a really interesting question. So get this. You know, when it comes to the markets as a whole, especially the legal markets right now, you look at someone like California or Colorado really leading the charge and have been for years now. We expect by 2023 for the nationwide market to be worth somewhere over $22 billion.
Wow.
And that includes about $16 billion worth of adult recreational use, right? So you can see the market shifting. It's not just medical anymore. And in fact, it will only be a very small percentage of medical by, you know, only a couple of years away. But what they're also projecting is that markets like Michigan and Illinois will actually flip that that sort of balance and actually become maybe the third and fourth largest markets in the country, surpassing markets
for
like Colorado. Correct. Wow, wow. Correct. Yeah, it should be pretty
cool.
Cannabis
tourism too. We talked about that before. Michigan already has a tourism thing going. You throw in the cannabis, hey, what the heck, right?
It's not a bad idea.
And well, there's winery tours, there's brewery tours, there's distillery tours.
You might as well throw a greenhouse in there.
Yeah. Next up, greenhouse tours, right.
So that'll be what Jason's going to invest in next, do you think?
I won't comment on the man's investments, but he would be wise to, I think.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk more about – so it's going to be panels, it's going to be investor presentations, fireside chats. Same format as what I saw in Detroit. Right?
Yeah, same format. I think the one big difference here is that in Detroit, you're looking at sort of a localized market, right? You're looking at the Michigan market and really all the players here.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have some of that in Chicago for sure, given that Illinois is new. But this is really an internationally focused event. You've got investors traveling from Europe and Asia. You've got content, one panel dedicated solely to expansion in Europe. That's really the next big market I feel like is coming online.
I don't know much about what's going on in Europe. I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I was going to say, besides Canada, what are the other countries where it's legal in the entire country now?
You know, it's interesting, and they're coming on all the time. And I think it's funny to watch what's happening, here in the U.S., for example, right? We are the next and probably the largest market that will legalize next. And I think it's, if it's not a ballot issue coming up next year, it will be shortly thereafter,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think certain countries like Luxembourg and Germany, the UK, I think, is still a far, far way away. I think they're a little bit too conservative to go that route yet.
You know them Frenchies are going to do it, right?
You know, of course. Listen, Germany gets on board. Spain's in there somewhere. France is going to follow suit. Yeah. Follow suit. So, yeah.
Huh.
Well, and Portugal made everything legal, right?
I mean, they might as well.
Yeah.
Well, and look at the Amsterdam, right? Their coffee shops, quote unquote, have had products in them for quite a while.
So. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I was in Amsterdam 2 years ago sampling the coffee. So,
okay. All right.
It was very good coffee, by the way.
Good. So, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Handpicked by Juan Valdez, I'll bet.
Yeah. Juan was there with his mule, the whole thing, you know? So, you got a question here about don't we wish we could have gotten in an Apple and Amazon. So what should we be investing in right now? I mean, you mentioned some of these companies earlier, but any ones that really stand out?
Yes, yes. And we have to be careful because Benzinga is not a financial advisor. We can't dispense advice.
You're not endorsing, you're just discussing.
Exactly. Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll
say. Offer to sell is made only by the circular.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I would suggest – even though many of these companies are sort of feeling the brunt of the vaping crisis that,
right.
You know, is, again, black market and not something they should be dealing with.
Right.
I will say that the safer bets right now are those companies who are what we call in the ancillary space,
mm-hmm.
ones that are maybe not plant touching, maybe ones that are not using vaping cartridges as a large part of their revenue streams, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, those like Akerna who are selling software, mm-hmm. really great company. Just debuted on the NASDAQ a few months ago. Really, really strong play, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many following suit there. Yeah, just check the index. We have one on Benzinga.com, and you should Benzinga.com/cannabis.
Well, we recently had a transport company come on the show here,
yep.
and talk about
Griffin,
their business.
Griffin Transport.
That struck me as a really cool play, too.
It is.
A way to invest without actually investing in the plant.
And think about those guys. Driven Deliveries mm-hmm. is a company that we'll have in Chicago, very similar to Ease, if you know them. They're delivering marijuana, and I think – Driven now has a policy where they can do it within 24 hours. They'll
wow.
deliver it to your door.
Okay.
So a pretty strong play.
The Amazon Prime of pot.
Apparently.
And we just had Amanda Kugler on talking about her Roots insurance, and she does marijuana
yes.
insurance.
Well, that's what strikes me about this industry is it's like any other industry. It needs everything. It needs marketers. It needs bean counters. It needs security. There's a whole bunch of ancillary services that are going to come on board here with this industry.
Well, and with that job creation.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's one of the more important aspects of this. And you think about legalization and, you know, other than everybody just having a good time, the reasons why. And you think about all these different people that are now able to do their jobs
mm-hmm.
And not in any sort of illicit backdoor shady alley way, but more so like, hey, I'm an accountant. I just happen to be working for a cannabis company.
Yeah, and in an era when more and more jobs are being eaten up by automation, this is, you know, it's never been more important.
Yeah, this Absolutely. Is very hands-on kind of work. I mean, if you're a trimmer, how do you automate trimming, right?
Well, they're looking.
I'm sure
ways.
They're looking, but
I'm sure there are ways. I hope so. Good Lord, we don't need more automation in that sector yet.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, so let's talk a little bit about Benzinga, one of your favorite topics. You guys do. I think Jason told me you guys have 1 million readers a month looking at your marijuana cannabis coverage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd suggest on Benzinga.com there are about 3 million readers a month.
Wow.
But really our claim to fame is how he organized our readers, right, and how he gets the word out. By he, I mean Jason. Our licensing model, our news shows up on Yahoo Finance, on TD Ameritrade. If you have a brokerage account, chances are you're looking at our news.
Hmm.
So every month we have over 20 million readers.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not a bad
so
game to be
in. So he's not driving that old VW microbus
anymore,
right?
I don't think
right?
he's driving the microbus.
Okay.
Maybe a scooter. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, cool.
It's an electric one, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And if they want to know more about Benzinga?
Yes, check out benzinga.com/cannabis. You can also check out bzcannabis.com/Chicago for information on this particular event. And your readers could certainly use the code MIKEVIP. That's M-I-K-E-V-I-P. all caps, for a 50% discount.
50%.
Yes.
Bring in good stuff. Haven't publicized yet. Even got Dave's attention. So
maybe you're an influencer.
That could be.
I think you are.
I think that's a sign.
You are.
Yeah. Okay.
What was that again? That was Mike.
Mike VIP.
M-I-K-E-VIP.
BZCannabis.com.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Patrick Lane, Vice President of Benzinga, for being on the show today. We want to thank Patrick and all of our guests today. Amanda Kugler, Manager of The Roots. Kevin Hayes, Merit Chief Information Security Officer. We kicked off the show with our old buddy from Traverse City, Enrico Schaefer, talking about influencers.
Enrico Suave.
Enrico Suave. Not talking about drone law.
Yes, no. All right. And so we well, thank you for joining us today. Thank all of our players today, as it were. And we'll be back next week with another show. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you've been watching M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.